I call this meeting of Sylvania City Council for May 7th, 2012 to order. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mike Brown.
Here.
Katie Cappellini.
Here.
Doug Hanum.
Here.
Sandy Hussman.
Here.
Mark Lukey.
Todd Milner.
Here.
Mary Westfall.
Here.
Mr. Lukey is excused, and there are 6 members of council present, so a quorum does exist. I welcome you all to our council meeting. There are council agendas, meeting agendas on the 2 side tables, if you haven't found one already. As we go through the agenda, if you'd like to address council on a particular issue, let me know by raising your hand, and I will recognize you at the appropriate time. This time, I invite you to participate in our Pledge of Allegiance, this meeting led by Mrs. Westfall.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Understand we have 2 young ladies from St. Ursula here tonight. Welcome. If you have any questions, let me know as we go through the agenda. Next item on our agenda is additions to the agenda, and I would add agenda item 14, which is a sister city commission report. Mr. Milner.
I have nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Members of council.
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Hanum.
Yes, I have 2 items that I want to bring forward for committee referral. One is an issue regarding funding of school resource officers.
We'll make that agenda item 15. Well, these are committee referral items?
Yeah, they would be item 13.
Okay, let's make it 13A then.
And the second one would be a referral relating to our TARDA representative.
All right. So those are 13A and 13B. All right. Other members of council? Seeing none, Mr. Smith?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Chief Rodas?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Aller?
Nothing.
And from the law director is out of town, so we have the assistant law director here tonight, Leslie Bryan. Anything from you?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
All right. Is there a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And the agenda is approved for this evening's meeting. Agenda item 4 is approval of the meeting minutes from our last meeting on April 16th. Mr. Milner.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Unless there are any corrections, I move that the Journal of Minutes of the meeting of Sylvania City Council of April 16th, 2012 be approved as submitted.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that the meeting minutes from our April 16th meeting be approved as submitted. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and those meeting minutes stand approved. Agenda item 5, we are very happy to have the Northview hockey team here tonight. I know you young men have gone to a lot of award ceremonies, and we'll keep this one short, but this council and this city are very proud of you. I know I participated in some of your assemblies after you won the championship, and council wanted to also put you on the record as a group the city just couldn't be more proud of. So if I could ask you all to come up by the podium, I'll join you there.
Resolution number 7, 2012, a resolution of the city of Sylvania commending the Sylvania Northview hockey team on its first state championship. Whereas the Sylvania Northview Wildcats boys hockey team captured the school's first team state title in any sport on Sunday, March 11, 2012, as it defeated Lakewood St. Edward 5-2 in the Ohio High School Athletic Association Division I championship game. And whereas the Sylvania Northview Wildcats hockey team record of 31-3-1 finished the season with an 18-game winning streak and set or tied 6 school records in earning the team's first state title. And whereas contributing to the state championship season were and I'll pronounce the names as best as I can. Mine is always disparate, so I apologize if I feel with you. David Marsh, Josh Kovac, Troy Beard, Tyler Ami, Tyler DeWitt, Jacob Kovac, Sullivan Mustafa, Xavier Sudlow, Cody Estro, Connor Simon, Cooper Carter, Drew Crandall, Brad Wadsworth, Nick LaPlante, Caleb Raw, Nick Kotai, Brent Easton, Brady Storr, Zach Galecki, Dalton Carter, Ian Clement, Zach Felser, Austin Reicha, and Philip Bowles. And whereas these young men have been a great source of community pride, upholding the best in today's youth with their dedication, spirit, enthusiasm, hard work, and excitement. And whereas congratulations also to head coach Mike Jones, assistant coaches Doug Carter, Steve Elliott, Todd Holme, trainer Kevin Brooks, goalie coaches Jeremy Snyder and Craig Trigo, whose talent, enthusiasm, and dedication led the team to an outstanding season. And whereas this council commends all of the athletes, coaches, parents, and students for their hard work and support, and congratulates them on their achievement, now therefore be resolved by the Council of the City of Sylvania, Lucas County, six members here to there to concur that on behalf of this council, the mayor, and the citizens of the city of Sylvania, you, the Sylvania Northview Wildcats, are hereby commended for your championship 2011-2000 boys hockey season. Congratulations to each and every one of you. You are a great source of pride. I know that I was a Sylvania High School graduate in 1971, and it dates a long time that that school has waited for its first team championship. You guys will always be the first team champions.
The achievement is something that I hope these kids never forget. I've talked a lot about it, but they put their personal lives and sacrificed for the betterment of the team and put their personal agenda to the side. It's amazing what young people and old people alike can do when we have a common goal and when we put our own agenda aside. So I thank you. I would ask for you to pass on the thanks if you can, and I don't know if this is in your arena, but to Sylvania Township Police Departments, Fire Departments that were also just awesome in helping us and being a part of the process, cheering us on and escorting us in and off the highways and things of that nature. And they've left an imprint, and everybody in this room left an imprint on these kids. And we feel very fortunate, very blessed, and just wanted to say thank you. Thanks.
And thanks for getting dressed up and coming in. You're welcome to stay for our whole meeting. You're also welcome to go in if you want.
Frankly, sometimes I don't.
All right, we're now up to agenda item 6, which is proposed ordinance 29-2012. This is to request an extension of the school zones at Highland and Maplewood as part of our city's Safe Route to Schools plan. Mr. Aller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The ordinance that you have before us supports you in the form that he requests to the Ohio Department. It does indicate that it's a reversion extension of the school zones. The school zones as they exist today are not being changed. But with the Safe Routes to School project, the zones are longer and zone that we got passed. The standard, standard zone is basically the property line of the school. And the existing school zones are wider than that right now, and because of this project, it will continue to be wider than that. So that was part of this ordinance to be formed at the parent.
Well, we're on the Safe Routes to School project. Can you give us an update as to the state funding and schedule for bidding?
I'm waiting anxiously every day for the documents to be returned from ODOT. They're clearing some last-minute things with the Federal Highway Administration to get the funds released. As soon as we get that word, the very next council meeting, I'll be before council with permission to have it in front.
Any questions from council?
Kevin, so all the costs that we expected to be paid for the river?
That's correct.
Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. All members of council have been speaking to advance, introduce ordinance number 29-2012. All members of council have been speaking to advance, by title only. Request an extension of school zones with respect to Highland Elementary and Maplewood Elementary as part of the city of Safe Routes to School Act. Waive the second and third reading, will the chair and emergency.
Second.
We moved and seconded that ordinance number 29-2012 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Final passage of ordinance number 29-2012.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 29-2012 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 29-2012 passes. Students in the back. We had two motions to pass that ordinance. The first motion, and you can listen to them as we go through the agenda, the first motion is to allow it to be read by title only so that the entire ordinance does not have to be read. That's because everybody has a chance to read it in their paper copies ahead of time, and to only read it once instead of three times. So we waived the second and third readings and read by title only. The second motion was to pass it as an emergency measure. With five members of council, you can pass legislation in one meeting. So with that supermajority of five out of the seven, you can move things through quicker. And most ordinances and resolutions pass that way. If there are not enough yes votes, it would take three council meetings to do it. Okay. On to agenda item seven, which has to do with a final change order for the Highland Meadows and Griffith Park East phase. Again, Mr. Aller.
This is the final change order for the second phase or east phase of the Highland Meadows and Griffith Park project. It does result in a net increase to the contract. The majority of that increase is due to equipment rental costs. The rock component of this project was not present according to what the soil boards would have expected us. Or what we expected based on the soil boards. And it caused the contractor to rent the rock excavation equipment much longer than what they had anticipated. That was evidenced by the bid that was submitted. We did have extensive negotiations on the amount of change order to get it to what I felt was fair for both the city and the contractor, and ultimately come to you with this change order being recommended. I would like to note that in the first phase of this project, there was a savings of $68,000 in rock excavation because the rock that was estimated was much higher than what they actually counted. During the project. And unfortunately, rock can be that way. Rock goes where it wants. In between the boards that you take, it does some crazy things. And so that's the result of this change order. It does result in a net increase of $28,021.50. And if you have to answer any questions on the other items, but that was the answer.
Kevin, this project, Phase 1 and Phase 2, or East and West phases, I believe are the largest street project and utility replacement project we've ever taken on. Seems to me that it's in the $4.5 million range for the two phases.
Very close.
Okay, so this is a very large project and added a great deal to our bonded indebtedness, but work that had to be done in a neighborhood where the streets were older, the water lines were too small, and there was not enough storm sewer in the neighborhood to take care of problems correctly. So we have done a lot of good in this existing neighborhood.
Following up on that, Mayor, the range that we had since this project, first phase was finished and now the second phase. We haven't had one call from anyone with flood time, but it was a very good call.
I'd like to comment that the second phase went a heck of a lot better than Phase 1. I think the contractor handled it more systematically, where he didn't gut the neighborhood and then, you know, see how the pieces fell in place. They were very, very good. I think I had maybe one complaint, one phone call, you know, about the second phase and the contractor, whereas the first phase we had quite a few complaints. I have, what protection do we have against settling this summer? You know, I know we've gone through a whole winter, but, you know, if a driveway were to crack that they replaced, or the ground were to settle because of poor backfill or whatever, do we have any recourse with the contractor?
We have a one-year maintenance bond.
Okay.
I'm comfortable with when construction was completed last year and into this spring that the settlement would have all taken care of itself before we did the final restoration. Things do happen, however, but we do have one remaining spot.
Okay.
President of Council has reminded me to say to everybody in the audience and remind council, this project was done without assessments to the property owners, as have been the many neighborhood street improvement projects over the years, over the last 14 or 15 years. A project like this would have been assessed in the past, but we have done many neighborhoods, like Grove. We started with Grove Bell and some others at no cost. These are big improvements. In almost any other community you could live in, you would receive a assessment to be paid immediately or spread out over 10 years on your property tax bill. So that's quite a thing that the city's been able to do. With that, we do have the ordinance to pass this change order. That's Ordinance 30-2012. Mr. Milner.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce Ordinance Number 30-2012. All members of council previously receiving copies, I'll read by title only, authorizing the mayor and director of finance to approve change order number 2, final, to this city's agreement with PHC Incorporated for the Highland Meadows and Griffith Park East Improvement Project, which reflects the actual materials used and work performed on this project, increasing the contract amount by $28,021.50, appropriating funds therefore, waiving the second and third readings, and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that Ordinance Number 30-2012 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Move final passage, Ordinance Number 30-2012.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded for final passage of Ordinance 30-2012 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and Ordinance 30-2012 is approved. Agenda Item 8 has to do with our new salt storage facility to be built out by the forestry building. This is to increase our storage capacity and is required because the salt companies no longer allow us to store it on the dock as we have in previous years, and also the need to be able to buy more to smooth out the costs. which we have not been able to do in previous years. So once again, Mr. Aller, you have a busy meeting here.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We received bids last Wednesday, May 2nd, and had four bidders on the project. The low bidder was Midwest Contracting of Holland, Ohio, with a bid of $178,800.60. The estimated cost on the project was $180,000, so they're just under the estimate that was put together. I have past experience with Midwest on the projects that I managed, as well as projects that being involved with on the government side, and performed quite a lot.
I have another question. Sorry. We had talked about trying to push this project along so that we could get the salt off the parking lot over at Fossil Park. Have you talked to the contractor on maybe, you know, escalating his performance to, you know, speed the project along to get it off the parking lot as soon as possible?
They wanted to know how fast they were going to have the contract if they were awarded the project. So I think they're ready to go. They want to start tomorrow.
Give any indication from them? Is the 60-day construction 90 longer?
I believe it was. I believe they had 90 days if that was final completion. I believe the substantial was less than that. I'm sorry, I don't know.
Okay.
That number was part of the bid, and I don't recall what theirs was. Final completion was 90 days.
90 days takes us to the first part of August, so that's not too bad. The erection of the cover probably won't take that long. It's the preparation of the ground and the concrete slabs and retaining walls that are going to take a little time. All right, we do have an ordinance attached with this one to award the bid. It's proposed ordinance 31-2012. Mrs. Hussman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to introduce ordinance number 31-2012. All members of council previously received copies. I would like to read by title only, accepting the bid of Midwest Contracting, Inc. and awarding the contract for the salt storage facility project to same, authorizing the expenditure for the improvements in the amount of $178,860, appropriating funds therefore, and declaring emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 31-2012 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage ordinance number 31-2012.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 31-2012 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and ordinance 31-2012 is approved. Back to the students for a minute. Council has 8 standing committees, and when I refer an ordinance to be read, I'm going to the committee chairman whose work that project ordinance involves. And we have 8 committees here on council. They are finance, chaired by the president of the council in this case, safety, Mrs. Westfall, Parks and Forestry, Mrs. Capellini, Utilities and Environment, Mr. Brown, and his is the next issue, Buildings and Grounds, Mrs. Hussman, who just read that. That's to build a new building for the city. Streets, again, Mr. Milner has 2 chairs, Annexation and Zoning, Mr. Hanum, Employee and Community Relations, Mark Lukey, who is not here tonight. And that's the logic of who is reading these ordinances and resolutions. Moving on to agenda item 9, we have proposed resolution 8-2012. This is an annual resolution to declare the necessity of lighting the streets and providing for the property owner's share of those street lighting costs. This is an annual one, and the prices are not changed from last year. Mrs. Littner?
No, they're not.
I look at the clerk because she does the assessment writing, and we have kept the rates the same. So no change. Mr. Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduced Resolution 8-2012. All members of council previously receiving copy. I'll read by title only. Declaring the necessity of lighting the streets in the city of Sylvania, Ohio, determining the manner of providing street lighting and the basis for the property owner's share of the cost, an annual assessment, waiving the second and third reading and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that Resolution Number 8-2012 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Move final passage, Resolution 8-2012.
Second. It's been moved and seconded for final passage of Resolution 8-2012 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and Resolution 8-2012 is approved. Agenda item 10 is getting back to you with the Plan Commission's recommendation concerning proposed ordinance number 25-2012, which was an ordinance to amend section 1103.022 of the Planning and Zoning Code. That is a section that required, that needs to be clarified, and in our previous zoning code required buildings older than 50 years in the historic district must have a 30-day waiting period prior to being demolished so that the historical society and other residents have an opportunity to document those buildings. It is not to stop the demolition, it is to slow it down so that it doesn't happen overnight. It came to mind that the new code needed to be clarified with this, and as a result, it was sent to the Plan Commission, as any change to the zoning code must be. And the zoning code has come back with a recommendation, first from experience, that that 50-year requirement be extended to 75 years. We were getting a lot of buildings that were not historically significant, did not need to be delayed by the 30 days coming in. But when we extend it to 75 years, I think we need to extend that to other sections of the city. There are older structures in the city that are not in the historic district as currently defined that we ought to take a look at as well. Those can be anywhere in town, but they're significantly down in the old Allen Street, Railroad Street area, and we would like to make sure that those have a chance to do it. And it is written into the code that the mayor, with the advice of the Historical Society, can waive that by writing a letter saying it is not historically significant. So making it citywide, I don't think it's going to be a burden. It only affects a limited number of buildings, 75 years of age or older. So I think this is the Planning Commission's recommendation. In order to change the zoning code, you need to set a public hearing date and then authorize the clerk to advertise that, and the clerk has it on the agenda sheet recommending June 18th. That's in front of your June 18th council meeting, setting this public hearing at 7:15. But that's your pleasure. Mr. Hanum.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I appreciate the report from the Planning Commission. We did specifically ask, refer this to the Planning Commission with a request for feedback on expanding the area and the rate of and the length of time, and I appreciate the input. So with that, I would move that we set a public hearing date to amend on the amendment of section 1103.22 of the Planning and Zoning Code, and to set that date, that hearing, for 7:15 on June 18th, and to authorize the clerk to advertise for that public hearing.
Second. It's moved and seconded to set the public hearing date for ordinance number 25-2012 for June 18th at 7:15 p.m. and to authorize the clerk to advertise the same. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. And the clerk will run that ad. Moving on to agenda item 11, we've had a request from Susan Searles for council to enact an ordinance prohibiting mosquito spraying within the city limits. This is for council's deliberation or action. We have included in the council packet the latest information that we received from her, and I think it was a much larger packet that I got a couple of weeks ago. This is just the first sheet of it. This says to perhaps refer to the Utilities Environmental Committee. That is your choice. unless you're ready to act on it one way or the other this evening, it may require additional deliberation. Mr. Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to refer this to Utilities Environment Committee for further discussion.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to refer the mosquito spraying prohibition within city limits to the Utilities Environmental Committee for their review. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Committee reports. First off, Mr. Milner, anything to report?
I have none, Mr. Mayor.
Other committee members, other committee chairmen? Hearing none, we'll go on to agenda item 13, which is committee referrals. We did have two added this evening. First, 13A is funding for school resource officers. Mr. Hanum.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. At our, we had a committee of the whole meeting prior to our last council meeting and had presentation at that meeting by, a very good presentation by Chief Rodas on police department finance issues. Upon further reflection after the meeting, I had an opportunity to look at the materials which you presented that evening, which were not insubstantial, and look at them a little more closely. And I think one of the things that, you know, as we're doing these committee of the whole finance issues, we are trying to address issues regarding the financial challenges that this municipality is facing, like every other municipality in the state of Ohio, and trying to identify places where we might consider some cost-saving measures in the hopes of being sure that we can continue to provide the key services that our neighbors want us to provide. One of the things that I noticed in reviewing the materials that Chief Saab submitted is that a number of our neighboring suburban communities do not provide school resource officers to their public schools. We, of course, do. So without reaching a conclusion, I think it kind of all the things that I looked at through here, I thought that probably warranted some additional investigation. And so what I would like to do is refer this to either the Finance Committee or the Safety Committee. I think either would be appropriate from different angles to explore that issue a little more, discuss this further with Chief Rodas. Maybe get some input from our Sylvania Public School folks and get a report back to council. And one of the reasons that I thought it was important to bring this up now is to maybe see if we couldn't address this issue in advance of the 2012-2013 school year. That may be too aggressive. It may be something that we couldn't address for a year later, but if we don't start looking at it, we won't have an opportunity to look at it, and seem like an appropriate time to do that. So with that in mind, I would, if the chair of the Safety Committee or the Finance Committee, if you have an opinion on where we ought to refer this, I'd be interested in your thoughts.
Doug, I think my preference would be to refer it to safety, starting at safety.
Okay, so I would move that we refer the consideration of the continued funding of school resource officers to our public schools to the Safety Committee for additional investigation and report back to council.
I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to refer the issue of funding for school resource officers to the Safety Committee at this time to allow time for the Sylvania City Schools and the city to discuss this possibility. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries. Added agenda item 13B, to discuss our TARDA representative to the TARDA board. Mr. Hanum.
Yes. Well, first, Mr. Mayor, let me be clear. I know this isn't your appointment, and with the advice and with the consent of council, and I certainly have no intention of stepping on your appointment rights here. One of the things that we had a public meeting on TARDA again before our last council meeting, and one of the things that I think came up that many members of council were not aware of was that our current volunteer TARDA representative, who has served the city well for a long time, moved out of the city of Sylvania, and in fact no longer resides in an area that's serviced by TARDA. And as that came up during the course of the meeting, I think there was some discussion that we would address that issue at some later time. So my thought here is that we ought to refer this discussion of our current TARDA representative and what standards we should have regarding our representative in terms of residency going forward, what sort of guidance we should have. And I think it would be appropriate to refer that to the Community Relations Committee for additional consideration.
I have no objections to that. Mr. Ramsdale has moved from the city, and I chose not to take action, one, because it isn't required by either TARDA or city law to be a city representative, but it would be better if it was. But he has taken this task on very seriously, and as chairman of the TARDA Finance Committee, I'm told, was under consideration to be the TARDA board president, and also because his term is up at the end of the year, and we will fix it at that time, I'm sure. But to discuss it and come up with recommendations, and in your email, you made the comment that you thought that our representative should be a transportationally challenged city of Sylvania resident. I certainly can't disagree with that. TARPS is a major part of what services City of Sylvania residents pay for and receive from TARDA. And I can certainly talk to Tim Harrington at the Ability Center in the next few months and get his recommendations of who might be a good representative to go on that. I mean, it could be him. He's a City of Sylvania resident. I don't know.
No, particularly noted with the presence of the Ability Center within City of Sylvania, we seem to be a community that would be particularly well suited and appropriate to have someone who understands who can speak to the important services that TARPS provide to not just our community, but to the entirety of the TARDA service area.
And there are appointees on that board, I think mostly from the City of Toledo, that do have physical disabilities. Shelley Pappenfuss comes to mind, who I was on the Ability Center board with years ago. But for the City of Sylvania to appoint such a person, it's a good idea. We should take a look at it. And his term does end at the end of the year.
I just have a quick question for a clarification. So we make the appointment to we have a seat essentially on the board of directors to TARDA, and we make that appointment.
Yes, as a member community, we appoint one member to the board of directors, as do all members except the City of Toledo, and they appoint several. I can't tell you exactly how many.
Mr. Hanum, are you going to make that in the form?
Sure. Mr. Mayor, I would move that we refer consideration of a criteria for our TARDA representative to the Community Relations Committee for consideration and report back to council.
I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded to refer the qualifications or recommendations for a TARDA representative to the Community Relations Committee. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and that's also now referred. Are there any referrals to be discussed at this time? Mrs. Westfall.
Before we close the session, my wife can't schedule candidate date.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Sure, of course it is. And the members of the Safety Committee are Mrs. Westfall, Mr. Brown, Mr. Hanem, and Mr. Milner.
Can we dovetail with that?
Although this Thursday, and then
we could certainly have Chief Rota stay with you to hear the discussion, but I'd probably go on with the rest of staff at that time, which I don't think is a problem. I think that's fine.
Yeah. How long do we expect that meeting to run? Bill, I think that's to talk about market study. No, the economic development meeting where we're supposed to talk about the market study.
Mr. Mullen is going to be back to you with his report of possible CRA changes to make them more effective.
That's right.
So 1 hour is enough?
Oh, yeah, 1 hour should be enough.
So 9 o'clock then, Mrs. Westfall?
That's fine.
I'd recommend 9. And, you know, I would recommend that you be flexible. That's the end of the school year, and they may ask to delay it until mid-June or something. I don't think it's something you have to meet on right away. But even the phone call requesting the meeting and the subject will put them on notice. So I know that this is an issue that I've discussed in the past directly with Superintendent in the past, Brad Rieger, and he may want to be present for that.
I have received the final documents from Sharon Woods, and I hope to prepare something so you can have a copy of it before the next council meeting. For discussion, questions. Part of it. Thank you.
Any other committee referrals or scheduling of meetings to be discussed at this time? Now we'll move on to added agenda item 14, which is a sister city commission report. I've passed a What's on Woodstock magazine both directions, and I just wanted to let you know that over the years, our sister city relationship with Woodstock has ebbed and flowed as people participated and as Woodstock participated and as mayors changed up in Woodstock. But I want to tell you it's on an uptick right now. They requested a meeting between our two commission committees. And this past Saturday, I spent most of the day in St. Clair, Michigan, leading our contingent, and Mayor Pat Sobecki from Woodstock led his contingency, and we discussed new and exciting ways for the city to interact on this international basis to benefit both communities, both with expanding our horizons and perhaps promoting business. Obviously, Woodstock is in a much stronger economic position than we are. They have the Toyota RAV4 plant in Woodstock, which they competed against the state of California, and Ontario helped. But they competed against Governor Schwarzenegger in California and won that RAV plant. They have just put 400 people back on the payroll up there, much as the Jeep plant here has put people back on the payroll. And he says there are rumors afoot that they are talking about a further plant expansion. It's just amazing how many parallels our communities share as we get into it. You know, the mayors like to talk about issues of funding and programming. They have a new skate park. They heard about our skate park last fall, and they took a look at it. They were debating it themselves, and they have put in their own skate park now. They just opened a new hospital last year, and the hospital is becoming a bigger part of their economy up there, as it is very large here. They have revenue issues just as we do. They, of course, have safety service issues, and their safety people always come down and take part in our fall festival parades. I'll be traveling up to Woodstock again on Canada Day for Canada Day celebrations. Our bands go up there on a regular basis to march in their Santa Claus parade, and there are new ideas and new local champions that are stepping forward to promote interaction on other levels. We had the director of the Sylvania Branch Library over here, and she's going to work on an exchange program between the two libraries. So no action required on your part. They're not asking for more money, just to report to you that things are strong and growing at the moment. Mayor Pat Sobeski of Woodstock, who has been mayor since last November, has evaluated the program, evaluated our community, and thinks it's nothing could be better for Woodstock than to continue its international relationship with Sylvania. So I think that's terrific. If anybody wants to keep these, you're welcome to get it. I have another copy in the mayor's office. They put that out every month or two. And I took up there, I took our new Chamber of Commerce community directories and our tourist directories, two different books, both very good publications done by the Chamber of Commerce. And things just went very well. I also took up Mayor Sobeski a framed copy of the Walter Chapman City of Sylvania collage, and told him about our art festival that's going to happen here June 1st and June 2nd, and asked that he have his art people contact down here to the chamber to see if they'd like to come and be represented on that. And they had just opened up a new community gallery, and he thought that they would be interested. So we had a lot of positives happen Saturday during the day. With that, we're to the end of our agenda. Mrs. Westfall. Got his picture in the paper, too.
But I'm very quick to mention that I have to keep forward. I don't know if you've got any feedback on it.
I was really surprised when it came out, seeing that it was raining and ice columns were coming down. But I think we probably did the same amount of scrubbing that we did last year and the year before. And I appreciate there was a couple city workers there, volunteered their time to help, so we had a good representation.
All right. There is a cash report from the Division of Taxation, and you'll see that we're holding our own 3% and a little bit more over last year's collections. I believe the year is ahead of any previous year. However, April is not. And a lot of this has to do with timing, but we are increasing our revenues as the economy improves. So that's good news. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and this council stands adjourned until its next regularly scheduled meeting 2 weeks from tonight on Monday, May 21st at 7:30 p.m. Thank you all for attending.